Rashi's opening comment on Parshas Vayera is that this is a connection, this is a continuation of the end of Parshas Lech Lecha. At the end of Lech Lecha, the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu had the Bris Milah, and Vayera is the Shlishi, Yom Shlishi Lemilosai, the first 3 days after the Bris. Is a bit of a sakana, so Avraham Avinu was a chayla, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be mevaka chayla. The Gemara, in the days of the Gemara, this was really considered a real suffix sakana, that a baby who just had a bris milah, here it's an adult, but they assume even a baby who has a bris milah, so the first 3 days, let's say the bris is on a Wednesday, so Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the child is considered besafik sakana. So even if one of the 3 days happens to be Shabbos, you would be permitted to be mechal Shabbos for whatever the person needs. In Shulchan Aruch they have a chumrah that you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for amila shaloi bizmana, only amila bizmana. So some achrenim have a chumrah that you shouldn't perform amila shaloi bizmana if the bris was postponed anyway. So you shouldn't perform the bris mila on Thursday or Friday, because if you do the bris on Thursday, so Thursday, Friday, Shabbos will be the third day. That'll be a suffix sakana. So you're not permitted to put the you're not allowed to be mechal Shabbos for milu shaloi bizmana. So you're not allowed to do the bris on a Thursday or a Friday because you may be causing chilul Shabbos. Is that question? Is it really so? That's talk of the din. There's a short tshuva in the Nevi Yehuda. It's only one paragraph. He has a discussion. They had a practice. The firstborn never really fasted on Tainus Pcheiros and Erev Pesach. They always saw to it that there was a Sudas Mitzvah and everybody ate. So in recent years, we have developed a patent that we see to it that someone makes a Siyam on a Masechta, so everybody participates in the Siyam, so the Bchorim don't fast. Years ago, they didn't. I guess they were Shvach. They couldn't make a Siyam on a Masechta. That if Yehuda wasn't smart enough to make a siyam on a home sichta or whatever, but they had a different patent. They always had a bris on Erev Pesach. How can you always have a bris on Erev Pesach? In New York City, for sure, you always have a bris on Erev Pesach. You have a little village. Who says it's going to be a bris? So the practice was that whenever there would be a bris milah, that had to be postponed, and it wasn't fulfilled on Yom HaShmini, so they would postpone it another week or two or three. Postpone it anyway. It's anyway Shaloi Bizmana, so they would postpone it till Erev Pesach. So they always saw to it that there would be a bris on Erev Pesach, so no one had a fast. So the Rebbe Yehuda writes he's not happy about this for two reasons. Just in one short paragraph, he's not sure that the party that you make when you have a milu shloi bizmana is also as choshev like a sudas mitzvah, like a milu bizmana, that should permit all of the participants to eat on Pinus Pchoris. Maybe it's only the suda that you have in connection with the milu bizmana. Maybe milu shloi bizmana, that suda is not as important. And then the second suffix is a more serious suffix. Who says that you're permitted to postpone further? If you had to postpone a bris and not perform it on the Yom HaShmini, so you should probably do it at the earliest available opportunity. Why is that? That's only because of Zrizim Magdima LeMitzvahs. So he says maybe it's more than that. Maybe it's more than just Zrizim Magdima LeMitzvahs. Maybe the Halacha says that on the Yom HaShmini, the Gemara says that you can perform the bris either early in the morning or late in the afternoon before the Shkia. The whole day is the same din, it's Mila Bizmana. We would recommend to do it in the morning because Rizim Akdim Ala Mitzvahs. But maybe if you have a Mila Shaloi Bizmana, maybe then every day counts. Maybe you're not allowed to postpone to the next day. Maybe if you postpone, maybe it's considered a Bitla Mitzvah. That's the famous Tshuva in the Dvar Avram in the first Chelek. He has such a suggestion that if the Mila is on the Yom HaShmini, Mila Bizmana, so you have all day long to do the bris milah, the Gemara says, kol yom kosher lemilah, but elosh ezriz makdim lemitzvah. So you should try to do it in the morning, or as early as possible. So most people daven at the regular minyan. They don't daven at the vasikin minyan in order to have the milah done mamish as early as possible. There's a fellow in Eretz El Road who used to walk Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach home a lot. So he used to talk to him on the way. So he wrote up all of the psukim that he told him. So some of the psukim were elementary. So it was a little bit of a silly. Shlomo Zalman said you have to like tefillin every day of the week. Sunday through Friday. And he doesn't write that, but he writes some silly thing that everybody, you have to say a bracha on bedikas chametz. Of course, say a bracha on bedikas chametz. What's the chiddush? That's why some of the children of Rav Shlomo Zalman didn't want him to print the sefer, because some of the things that he wrote were so silly. Well, what is he quoting? Rav Shlomo Zalman said that. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch says like that. But so he has there that on one occasion, one of the rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, he's a rebbe in a certain yeshiva, came to Rav Shlomo Zalman, and he said he's having a bris. Another couple of days, he'd like Rav Shlomo Zalman to be the sannik. So he said, fine, where's the bris going to be? He tells him and everything, and then he tells him, and by the way, we're going to daven vasikin, because I want to do zriz magdim and mitzvahs as early as possible. So Rav Shlomo Zalman said, so get yourself a different model. Get yourself a different sannik. He wasn't interested in davening at the crack of dawn. He had to prepare shiurim, he had to stay up late at night. He couldn't daven vasikin. So we don't always try to daven vasikin on the day when you have a mila of bizmana. Ziz magdim le mitzvah, within reason, okay. Ziz magdim mitzvah is also learned out from this week's sedra. And Parshas Vayera, it says, HaKadosh Baruch instructs Avraham Avinu, you should go perform the Yakedo. And then it says, Vayashkem Avraham Baboker. So the Gemara says, Malamach Ziz magdim le mitzvah. You should try to do whenever you have mitzvah to do, do it as early as possible. Ziz magdim le mitzvah. But if the person, let's say, there's a prim begodim in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. It says in Rosh Hashanah, if there's a bris on Rosh Hashanah, so you perform the bris right before Tkiya Shofar. This is supposedly a tshuva that the Oruch sent to Rashi. That Rashi sent the Shaila to the Oruch, and he responded that you should perform the bris right before Tkiya Shofar. So the prim begodim asks, Manashtana, why is it different from every other day? Normally the minhag always was that you perform a bris right before Aleinu. We usually don't do that. We usually do the bris later. Then we say Aleinu l'shabech after the bris. Shalosh ham chakenu kohem. That the Umas Olam, Bnei Yisrael are different from the Umas Olam. We have a bris milah, and we're very different. We're completely different from the Umas Olam. But that was always the minhag. If you have a little village and everybody in the village, everybody davens in the minyan, is going to be in the bris. So you have the bris right before Aleinu at the end of the davening. So Manish Tana Rosh Hashanah. What was Rashi's Shaila? Why didn't he understand on his own? You should perform the bris milah before Aleinu. So the Prima Godim says it must be, he's trying to reconstruct, must be that already in the days of Rashi, they said so many piyutim that by the time you're going to get to Aleinu, it's going to be after Chatzais. Here they finish after 2 o'clock. So since in the days of Rashi, they said so many piyutim, it's already after Chatzais. So that was probably bothering Rashi. If you're going to wait till after Chatzais, that's already a violation of Zriz Magdim Limitzus. Zriz Magdim is if you take a daven basikin and you have the bris right after the shachris, so that's the maximum Zriz Magdim you can have. You don't want to have the bris before shachris. You can have the bris at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. But if you wait till after Chatzais, that's already a violation of Zriz Magdim Limitzus. That's how the Prima Godim suggests. He thinks that it's not right to have a bris in the afternoon. And Eretz Yisrael is very common. They have a lot of time, a bris in the afternoon. A lot of times you have one moel. He does 20 bris in a one day, and half of the bris are going to be in the afternoon. So that's a prima godim thinks that it's not right. So that's the shaila. When you have a mila bizmano, so the Gemara says in the beginning of Sochim, kol ayam kosher l'mila, el-sh'ezriz magdim l'mitzvah, the more correct is to have the bris mila early in the morning, within reason. What if it's a milu shaloi bizmano? So then the Dvar Avram suggests, based on this, Nadi Bihuda, maybe then, as soon as you're able to perform the bris milah, maybe if you wait an hour later, maybe that'll be already a bitla mitzvah. Not only if you wait till tomorrow, Nadi Bihuda talks about postponing to a day later. The Dvar Avram might say, if you postpone till an hour later, it could be a violation of Zriz Magdim Le Mitzvah. I remember once years ago, one of the rabbis in the yeshiva had a boy, and there was some kind of problem, so they couldn't perform the bris milah bizmana, so they had to postpone it. And it was a situation, sometimes when you postpone a bris, you have to wait 7 full days, me'es leis, till the baby is for sure better. And sometimes you don't have to wait 7 days, me'es leis. Depends whether the baby was chol kol haguf or only b'miktzas haguf. So over here the case was, it wasn't chol kol haguf, so as soon as the doctor said that the baby can have the bris milah, so they were going to have it then. So the doctor said at 2:30 in the afternoon. So the father took the baby. The father called up a moel and he had the bris then. And they didn't have a caterer to prepare anything for the suda. So he called the caterer afterwards, and the caterer came later. But the bris was right away because of this Dvar Avram. Dvar Avram raises such a possibility that maybe, not only if you wait till the next day, even if you wait till an hour later, maybe that constitutes a bitla mitzvah. You have to do it immediately. So that's the Nerdi Behuda is ma'ora such a possibility. Maybe it's not right to postpone even a milu shaloi bizmano. You should have it as early as possible. It's not only because of zriz magdimer lemitzvahs. Maybe it's stronger than that. Maybe if you postpone a day, or the Avram says maybe even if you postpone a half an hour, maybe that constitutes a bitla mitzvah. So that's the shaila. Is it really right to say if you have a milu shaloi bizmano, so you shouldn't do it on Thursday or Friday because then you may be machnis yourself into a suffix sakana? So is that right? Especially bizmano zeh, we have antiseptics, and how often did it ever happen that in the history of the yeshiva, I don't remember at all that the baby was bisakana within 3 days after the bris milu. We have antiseptics. Since there's never any infection, the whole thing is strange. Here in Breuer's community, they have a tradition from Rabbi Breuer, Zechon Levrochen. In America, when the Jews first started coming to America, so they weren't so medaktek, so people work from Sunday is a day off, and everybody works Monday through Friday. So if you have a bris on Sunday, more people will attend the bris. So they had a minhag, a practice, that the bris is always on Sunday. Whatever day of the week the baby was born on, they'd always have the bris on Sunday, which is shaloi kedin. You can't, not allowed to postpone the bris. It's a meal of bismana for sure, you're not allowed to postpone. So Rabbi Breuer made a takana that whenever there's a meal of shaloi bismana, you're not allowed to do it on Sunday. Let's say the baby was born bein hashmashes of Friday night or something like that. So the din is that you can't do the bris milo on Friday of the next week. Maybe it's Toch Shiva. You can't do the bris on Shabbos. Maybe it was really Lacha Shiva. Maybe the Milo Bizmano should have been on Friday. So he made a takana that whenever there's a Milo Shaloi Bizmano and the first time you can do it is Sunday, you should push it off to Monday. The Dafke, in order to break this practice. Okay, he made a takana Lahiru Ashoah. He felt that it was necessary. But if not for the fact, you can make a takana Lahiru Ashoah not to blow Shofar also, if you feel that it's necessary. But you can't make such a din l'dairis. The Nadi Behuda says you're not allowed to postpone. You're not allowed to postpone a bris. The psukim seem to indicate that Avraham Avinu was mal himself. So the Minchas Chinuch has a discussion of this. How does this get off the ground? The din is that a Jew has to perform the bris milah. A nochri cannot perform the bris milah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Chavav, learns that from psukim. That you need to have a Jew. The Jew, himol yimol, hamol yimol, hamohul yimol, one who himself has a bris milah should perform the bris milah. How could Avraham Avinu be mal himself? So the Minchas Chinuch raises a possibility. Maybe, let's say, you have a ger habol his geyer. A non-Jew wants to convert, he has to have milah. So maybe we would allow any ger, Avraham Avinu was a ger, maybe we would permit any ger to be mal himself because boin kachas. Al yidei hamilah, that's the maisa gerus. So maybe we should permit it. It's problematic. What kind of a boin kachas? For the geirus, you have to have mila and then tefillah in the mikveh. A mavalai tovel is a guy gomer. The Gemara says he's not Jewish. It's because he did the mila. Kolzman doesn't do the tefillah in the mikveh. He's still not Jewish. Unless you say the wild idea, they quote from Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I think, that after you do the mila, he better observe Shabbos and he better observe all the mitzvahs, because after he'll do the tefillah in the mikveh, he'll become Jewish mila mafreya, starting from the milan. That's a very difficult chiddush. That was the incident that when Rabbi Yosef Chaim, not Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, I think Rabbi Shmuel Salant was away, so there was a ger who had mila, he didn't have tefillah yet, so he came to shul on Shabbos afternoon, so the rav, the assistant rabbi, said he has to be mechal Shabbos, because a non-Jew is not allowed to observe Shabbos. So then they started a whole discussion. All the rabbanim in Europe, everybody was writing tshuvas about this. Is it correct or not? Maybe a ger, shemol v'lo tovo, maybe he's permitted to observe Shabbos, because Bnei Yisrael had the milah in Mitzrayim before Korban Pesach. They didn't have the tefillah for the gerus until Maimon HaSinai. And Shabbos was given in between, in the 7 weeks between Yitzias Mitzrayim and Maimon HaSinai. That's when they were given the mitzvah of Shabbos. They see that a ger shemol v'lo tovel is permitted to observe Shabbos. So the other gedolim said that was once in the history of the world. That was a the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the din was koyde matan Torah, but after matan Torah, ger shemova letova, there's a goy gom. He's not allowed to observe Shabbos. So different gedolim had different opinions. I think they attribute this to Rabbi Yosef Chaim Zonnefeld, if I'm not mistaken, maybe to Rabbi Shmuel Salant. I forgot already. Somebody said this chiddush nifla that the ger who is mol veloy tova better observe all the mitzvahs because after he will be toivel in the mikveh, it'll be a gloy milsal amafir that he became Jewish from the very beginning. So shvera chiddush. How can you say such a thing? So that's the question over here. How could Avraham Avinu be mal himself? He wasn't Jewish. The Mila was the Shem Geris, he wasn't Jewish, so he had no Brera. Who's going to do the Bris Mila? There was no one else that was Jewish, had no choice. The Chasam Sefer has a famous tshuva on this. He says the din is that a Jew who for some reason or another didn't have a Bris Mila is also kosher to serve as a moel, as long as he's Jewish. So he has a chiddush when Avraham Avinu went nitztava on the mitzvah of Mila, he already became Jewish before he performed the Bris Mila. Because the Umas Olam only have seven mitzvahs b'nei noach. So the moment that Avraham Avinu was given the tzivut to perform Mila, he already was considered Jewish at that time. So like Yisrael Oral. So Yisrael Oral is permitted to serve as a mohel. It's an Iluyish suggestion. But another ger, Habol his Geir, according to the Chasam Sefer Tshuva, wouldn't be able to be mal himself. Physically, it's very difficult to be mal yourself, but there were those who wanted to. Every so often, there is a ger, habo, this guy wants to perform his own bris milah. A doctor wants to perform his own bris milah. So that's, the pashtus says that it's not acceptable. Avraham Avinu was an exception to the rule for some reason or another. Pashtus is not acceptable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to me mevaka chayla, to Avraham Avinu. The sugya bika chaylam is in Maseches Nedorim. The Mishnah talks about a person whose muda hanom echavero, I took a neder not to get hanor from you, or you took a neder not to be mahanami, one way or the other, whatever, so are you permitted to be mevaka chayla? Is that considered a violation of muda hanor? So the Gemara has a whole discussion on it. So the Gemara there has, that's where the sugi is of bika chaylam, and it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Yeridea. The end of Yeridea, they have Hilchas HaRoifim, about laws that the doctors have to know when they're treating patients, about treating patients on the weekdays and on Shabbos. Then they have the dinim of bika cholim, then they have the dinim of if the doctor is not successful, the dinim of avelus, ripping kriya and avelus, and so on. That's how the Yeridea ends. So the Ramor there in the end of Yeridea quotes a Ramban on the Gemara Nedarim that if a person visits the chayla and he doesn't offer a tefillah that the chayla should get better, he hasn't fulfilled the mitzvah of bika cholim. Bika cholim doesn't mean to visit the sick. Bika cholim means you have to heal the patient. So if you're a doctor, you can heal a patient. The Gemara there in Nedarim and the sugya of Bika cholim tells that Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 students. And he noticed that one student was absent one day. He took attendance on the 24,000 students. 24,000 pairs of students. How many students did he have? He noticed that a student was absent. And he said, where is he? So he said, he's in the dormitory room. He's sick in bed. So he went. And he said, of course he's sick. So he swept the floor and he told him to change the sheet on the bed and change his pajamas. And he opened the window and he got the ventilation and fresh air. So that was Bika Cholim, and the student got better. Bika Cholim means to heal the patient. So the Ramban says, from the Gemara, he has a right that if you don't offer a tefillah, that the Cholim should get better, you haven't done the maximum in your power to heal the patient. Today, the doctor prescribes medication and the nurse takes care of the patient and so on. So I'm not a doctor, I'm not a nurse, so what can I do? And if he's in the hospital, so there's, and the nurses are changing the linens and everything. What is there to do? So his attitude also helps him. So if I come and I cheer him up, so then there's a better chance that he will get better sooner. But if you offer a tefillah, so that will certainly, you have to do the maximum that's in your power to heal the patient.
That implies that it's almost like a bidyevet situation that he has permission to heal, but this would imply that it's a chiyuv, it's a mitzvah.
Yeah, you mechuyev to, yeah. Permission means one shouldn't think that it's min hashamayim that the fellow got sick, so I'm not allowed to go against the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says, no, it's permissible to heal him. Once it's permissible, then you're a mechuyev mitam mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveiro. You have to help out the other people. You have to take care of their needs as if it would have been your own needs. So the Gemara says when you visit the chayla, so you shouldn't visit the first 3 hours of the day or the last 3 hours of the day. You shouldn't visit the first 3 hours of the day because the Chola had a good night's sleep, so he's going to look so healthy. So the people who visit won't really realize that he's sick, so they may not offer a prayer. The last 3 hours of the day, he looks like he's ready to drop dead already because he was up the whole day. And the people may not offer a prayer because they're going to feel the guy's a goner. He's on his way to die. Why should I offer a prayer? You should only visit in the middle 6 hours of the day. So the Ramban said it would appear from the Gemara that if you visit the Cholim, you don't offer a tefillah, you haven't done the maximum in your power to heal the Cholim. So that's the definition of the mitzvah of Bika Cholim. It doesn't just mean today, all that's left to the layman who's not a doctor, who's not a nurse, all that's left is to cheer the person up. Okay? So you cheer him up when he's in a better mood, so he stands a better chance of getting better sooner. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to heal Avraham Avinu, to help him get better. Then the Malachim come, and Avraham Avinu thought that they were human beings. He thought they were Avdei Avodah Zarah who worship Ofer. So Avraham Avinu is mafsik in the middle. That's how the Gemara understands Masech Shabbos. Also, the Gemara has a little bit of a discussion of Hachnos Asorchim. The Mishnah talks about the Perek Mefanim, talks about moving things out of the way for the purpose of Hachnos Asorchim. So the guests will have a place to sleep, have a place to sit. So the Gemara there talks about Hachnos Asorchim. So the Gemara says, look over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to visit Avraham Avinu. And when Avraham Avinu sees Shlosh HaNashim and Yitzav Malov, he wants to fulfill Achnas HaSarchim. So he tells the Rebbeinu Shalom, you wait for me and I have to take care of the Yochim. He's mafsik in the middle of Gedoyla Achnas HaSarchim Yoyser Mehagbalas Panei HaShchina. That Avraham Avinu tells the Shchina to wait and he wants to be Machnas Orchim. So the Welt has a comment on this. We learn that from Avraham Avinu. This is described in the Chumash that that's the right thing to do. We learn that from Avraham Avinu. How did Avraham Avinu know that that's the right thing to do? How did he figure this out? He figured everything out on his own. So how did he figure it out? So the Welt says that you look in the Rambam and Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah. So the Rambam talks about the two Ikari Hamuna, two out of the 13 Ikari Hamuna, the Animamins. One is we believe in prophecy. One is we believe that the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu is on a higher level than that of all of the other prophets. So the Rambam lists off the differences between Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other Nevim. So he points out the Psukim that's in Parshas Baal Oischa, Barichas. So the Psukim say that another Navi will lose all of his senses, he'll fall asleep, have a chazon, have a chalom, and a mare, and he won't be conscious of what's happening. And Moshe Rabbeinu is kedaber rishol riyayu, like a person talks to someone else. He maintained all of his faculties, and he didn't fall asleep, and he didn't get knocked off of his feet. It's kedaber rishol riyayu. So the Welt says that here, Avraham Avinu had this, the Rebbeinu Shlom came, he had a kabbalas pnei hashchina. He didn't know what was happening. He lost all of his sensation, didn't know. All of a sudden, he sees three people coming. So how could that possibly be? When a person, other than Moshe Rabbeinu, has a nevuah, he loses all of his senses. So how can he even notice that there were three people coming? So it must be, he understood on his own, it must be, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mafsik the kabbalas pnei hashchina. He should see that they're there in order to invite them in. So that's how Avraham Avinu knew that G'doy l'hachnas asorchim yes mehagbalas pnei hashchina.
I don't know if everybody agrees with the Rambam that when a Navi gets Nebuah, he loses all the senses. But if it's only the Rambam, then the Rambam also holds that the three people is also Nebuah. The whole story was Nebuah.
Okay, good. The Rambam says that this never really happened. The whole thing was just a Mara HaNebuah. Okay. Ramban quotes that Rambam. Yeah, a lot of times we're not sure things that say in Chumash. We're not sure. I remember when I was a little boy, so they used to ask the riddle that the archaeologists discovered the bones of 7 cows near the Nile River. So they asked the little children, do you think these were the bones of the fat cows or the skinny cows? So those who knew Chumash, they said it must be the bones from the skinny cows because the skinny cows swallowed up the fat cows. So the answer was it's all wrong. It was a chaloim. The whole thing was a dream. Chalom para echon, it was a dream. They shouldn't find any bones. So there's some things that we know for sure that never happened. The bones, the skinny cows, the whole thing never happened, that was a dream. Other things we know are dreams. Other things we know for sure they happened. Avraham Avinu was a real person, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, Maimon Hasinai, Tzias Mitzrayim, the Mabul, these are things that we know really happened. Then there are other things, the anchor fighting with the malach, so the Rambam says again it was a dream. Here the malachim, the Rambam and the Mor and the Buchim thinks that this was a dream. Okay, and the Ramban doesn't agree with that Rambam. But that's how they say in the yeshivas. How did Avraham Avinu know that G'dol HaKbalas HaKnas HaSachim Yesim HaKbalas Pnei HaShechina, based on that Rambam, that the fact that he perceived that they were there was the siman that he should be mafsik in the middle. Rav Soloveitchik suggested, why did the Ribbono Shel Olam cause the malachim? The Ribbono Shel Olam sent the angels. Why did he send the angels now? Could have sent the angels an hour later. Everything has to be the same time. He said this was a test for Avraham Avinu to see, is he going to ignore the people because he's in the middle of Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina, or is he going to be mafsik the Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina? And he passed the test. He said the correct answer is he's supposed to be mafsik in the middle of Kabbalah's Pnei HaShechina in order to be mekabel Pnei HaOrchim. Rav Soloveitchik said we have such a similar din in the Mishnayos and Brochas. If the person is in the middle of reciting Kriya Shema, so being Parsha LeParsha, Bemtza Parsha, so sometimes Mishnah has that you're supposed to be mafsik in the middle to be shoel b'shloim chaveiro, or to be meshiv sholem to the other person. And the Yerushalmi says it's learned after in the pasuk. It says in the middle of Kriya Shema, "V'dibarta bam." So the Yerushalmi, the posh b'shad v'dibarta bam, you should talk and learning. So the Yerushalmi has an additional level of interpretation. V'dibarta bam, you should talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. V'dibarta bam. The Gemara has a drasha in Yuma, daf yitess, v'dibarta bam v'loy b'tfilo. What does that mean? So the Tosfos says that's what it means. Tosfos said based on Yerushalmi, the Babli is the same as the Yerushalmi. In the middle of Kriya Shema, he's supposed to be mafsik, mempnei HaKovid, mempnei HaYirub. In the middle of Shema Esrei, he's not allowed to be mafsik. So the middle of Shema Esrei is a more serious Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina. The middle of Kriya Shema is a less serious Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina. So sometimes Kovid Abiyas takes precedence. See, we thought that they were human beings. Sometimes Kovid Abiyas takes precedence over Kabbalah Pnei HaShechina, like in Kriya Shema. Should be mafsik. Pasuk continues to say, in the end of Lech Lecha, Kodesh Baruch already told Avraham Avinu that his wife was going to have a baby, and Avraham Avinu was laughing. He was not punished. And over here, Sarah was given Musar. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Avraham Avinu Loshon Hara about his wife. That's the way to ruin a marriage. You tell a husband that his wife is not religious. Loma Zetzocha Kasar, what, your wife is an apikoros or something? So how come the Ribbono Shel Olam did get angry at Avraham Avinu? Apparently it was a different kind of a laughter. He was laughing from joy and she was laughing from disbelief. There must be some difference over here. But why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell the Lashon Hara to Avraham Avinu? Is that the right thing to do? So it's quoted in the name of Rav Moshe Feinstein that the Gemara says in the end of Psochim that if you see a Talmud who's doing something improper, so there's no prohibition of Lashon Hara if you tell his Rebbe, if you think the Rebbe will be able to succeed in giving him Tochacham. Whenever there's Toelis Lahabot, then there's no Isa Lashon Hara. Toelis Lahabot is either to straighten out the one who's doing the wrong thing. I'm telling someone else, I can't give Musa to him, but you give Musa to the person. You straighten him out. Or Toelis Lahabot sometimes is, I want to protect you. The Gemara says, they told Gedalia ben Achikam that they're out to kill him and he didn't listen. He should have listened. It was L'Toelos Labo to save his life. L'Toelos Labo, let's say, a person is crazy and he needs to go to a psychiatrist and he has to tell the whole story that his father did this and his mother did this, and he has to tell all nasty things about his father's mother's brother's sister and so on and so forth. So it's all Lashon Hara. So the Chafetz Chaim writes the whole sefer on Lashon Hara. So he says, what's the head to go to a psychologist? Psychiatrist, whatever, so he says, that's L'Toelos Labo. I hope he's going to straighten me out. And then it's permissible to say over the Lashon Hara. So here the Ribbono Shel Olam told the Lashon Hara about Sarah to Avraham Avinu. He was her Rebbe. And Avraham Avinu will succeed in giving her Musa. And one of the three Anashim, the three malachim, one of them was supposed to go to destroy the city of Sodom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't do it without telling Avram Avinu. Ki yidaitiv, I love him. Mana sheitzav es banav es beis ha'achor v'lechez b'derech Hashem. Shomer derech Hashem, and so on. So the Chafetz Chaim points out, others point out as well, Chafetz Chaim points out that you see that chinuch is a real din d'oraisa. The chi of chinuch is a real din d'oraisa. What does the Gemara always say? Chinuch is only mid'rabbanon. So chinuch is mid'rabbanon means that I should see to it that my young children before bar mitzvah actually shake a lulav and actually sleep in the sukkah. But I have to be mecharech them, I have to tell them that when you reach the age of 12 or 13, then you'll be mechuyev in mitzvah. I have to teach them all the dinim. Now I say, kozman yoktano, yokotna ktani, you're not mechuyev to keep any mitzvahs. But you should know that when you reach the age of bas mitzvah, bar mitzvah, then you will be obligated to observe all the mitzvahs. So that chinuch is certainly a din d'oraisa. So that's what the pasuk says. I love Avram Avinu because he does chinuch on his children, and that chinuch is certainly a mitzvah min HaTorah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says he loves Avram Avinu, and he's going to give all of Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu, and I cannot hold back his secret from him. It's not right. So he tells Avram Avinu he wants to destroy the two cities, the four cities, Dom Amora, all the five cities. He wants to destroy the five cities. So Avraham Avinu starts negotiating. Maybe in the schus of the tzaddikim, the city should be spared. He goes down from 50 to 45 to 30 and so on, goes down, and then nothing helped. There weren't even 10 tzaddikim to save the city. It is a strange medrash on the pasuk that Avraham Avinu is requesting Allah Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim. So the medrash says Tzadikim Nivli, Shvachet Tzadikim. They're not such big Tzadikim. That's what Avraham Avinu meant. He said Allah Yesh Chamishim Tzadikim. Maybe there are 50 Tzadikim, and the schus of that Tzadikim, they will be nitzel. The whole city should be nitzel. So why does the medrash comment? In the medrash is giving their commentary. Even if there would have been 50 Tzadikim, it would have been knappe tzaddikim, it would have been very shvachet tzaddikim. Very strange, why mention that comment over here? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Tainis, where the Gemara says that on one occasion there was a fire in the city. Usually years ago, all the homes were made of wood, there would be a fire, the whole city would burn down. That many times. So what happened was, half the city burned down, the other half of the city didn't burn down. And you shouldn't think that the half of the city that didn't burn down was in the schus of Rav, who lived in that half of the city. No, it was in the schus of a frumah doctor who lived in that half of the city, that he used to treat the patients. He didn't rip them off. He didn't charge too much money. Whoever couldn't afford, he didn't charge anything. Whoever couldn't afford the medication, he gave them medication for nothing. He had the men separately and the women separately, so everything would be tzniyazdik. So the Gemara says it was in the schus of the wonderful doctor who lived there. So the Masha is bothered with the Gemara. How did the Amoraim know that it wasn't the schus of the doctor? Well, they read in the paper. Maybe it wasn't the schus of Rav. Rav lived in that half of the city. So the Sasemis on the Gemara quotes what he heard from his grandfather, from the Chidush Arim. The Chidush Arim commented on this pasuk. What do you mean? Olai shchamishim tzadikim. And the Medrash says tzadikim nivle. Why tzadikim nivle? So he says there's no such thing as saying that in the schus of a holy tzaddik, the whole city should be nitzel. Why? The tzaddik deserves a hatzolah, and the rest of the people don't deserve a hatzolah. But if the tzaddikim are not such gewaldige tzaddikim, they're semi-tzaddikim, so they don't deserve to die, but they don't deserve that it should be so bolet that all the five cities should be destroyed, and only the few tzaddikim who are going to live there will be spared. They're not such unusual tzaddikim that they deserve that it should be noticeable. So that's what it means in the schus of shvachet tzaddikim, so you'll be matzal on the whole city. That's what the Svasem has heard. He was a grandson of the Chidush Arim. I think he was a Yosem, and the grandfather raised him, so he heard that pshat. So he says, maybe that's the pshat in this story in the Gemara, that if it would have been in the schus of Rav, the whole city would have burnt down, and Rav's home would have stayed intact. The fire would have destroyed the whole city. Rav was such an unusual tzaddik. He was a greater tzaddik than the doctor. Not that Gemara is knocking Rav. They're saying that he was a higher, a greater tzaddik than the doctor. So he deserved even a hatzolah that would be noticeable, that would be nikkur. The Gemara says, no, it wasn't in the schus of Rav. Must have been in the schus of the doctor. The doctor was a nice guy. He was a tzaddik. He deserved the hatzalah, but he didn't deserve that it should be so bolik, that it should be so niker. That's why the whole half of the city didn't burn down. That's how the Sfasemah suggests pshat in the Agarot and the Gemara in Tainis, based on what he heard from the Chiddush Arim on this Medrash.
How would that explain the rest of that Gemara, which says that I think Eliyahu and Elvi or the Basifa would greet the doctor once a week or something, and only greet Rav once every
doesn't sound like it, right? The pshat doesn't seem to fit into the Gemara. You have a good Taina. The Rav doctors were at a higher Madrega than the Rabbanim. Okay. His father's doctor. Okay. I don't know. You're right. It doesn't seem to fit into the Hemshah Hagmar. Is that tight? So he's negotiating. Nothing comes out of the whole negotiation. So the two Malochim come to Zdom. And they're coming to destroy. One is coming to destroy the city. One is coming to save Lot. It's interesting. After the whole destruction of the whole five cities, the pasuk says, "Vahi b'shachesa lekimis arei hakikar." When HaKadosh Baruch Hu was about to destroy all the five cities, "Vayizkor lekimis Avraham." This is in chapter Yutes. Pasuk Choftes, by Yiskor Lekimus Abraham, by Yishalach Eslot Mitoch Ahafecha, Bafuch Esarim Asher Yosheh Behen Lot. It sounds from the pasuk that it's only in the schus of Avram Avinu that Lot was his nephew. In the schus of Avram Avinu, Lot and his children were nitzal. But they didn't realize that. The Menos Lot thought that the whole world was destroyed. They thought the whole world was destroyed, and the only survivors were their father and the two daughters. In order to preserve mankind, they have to sleep with the father in order to have children. A lot of times people in Chinuch and Rabbanis think that they're saving the whole world. That the NCSY, you have to do, you're saving the whole world. So you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos a little bit here, a little bit there, to cut corners, because we're doing Mamish, Bikoch Nefesh, Hatzalah Soil. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik always used to say, you should be careful not to develop a Messiah complex. Don't talk it into yourself that you're saving the whole world. If someone goes into the Rabbanis and he succeeds in getting a couple of families to be Shomer Shabbos and to send their children to yeshiva, it's gewaldig. That's a wonderful accomplishment. We shouldn't think that we're saving the whole world and therefore we're allowed certain liberties to violate certain things. Whatever that is the case. So there are certain liberties. If you have a Shas HaTchak, sometimes there is what to be meikel. But it's interesting the way the Psukim describe it, that they thought, Ein ish bortzash, they thought the whole world was destroyed and they're the only ones left, and the pasuk says they were only spared in the schus of Avraham Avinu. The rest of the world is still there. Lefi, according to their incorrect perception, they did a big mitzvah. They thought they're saving the whole world. So the Gemara says in Baba Kama they were both rewarded, the Bechira and the Tzira, they were both rewarded because they thought, according to their incorrect perception, that they were sparing, they were saving the whole world by sleeping with their father. It was such a din in the Gemara, in the end of Yuma. The Gemara has the whole sugya of Pikoch Nefesh, eating on Yom Kippur and being Mechal Shabbos for the sake of Pikoch Nefesh. So the Gemara says if the doctors ascertain that a person is a Chol Sheish B'Sakon and he needs some Chil Shabbos, so then 10 different people start running to take care of the Chil Shabbos, and then one of them didn't realize it, the Pikuach Nefesh was already taken care of before he starts to run, but he didn't hear the communication, he didn't hear. So the Gemara says he doesn't have to bring a Chi of Chatos, he doesn't have to bring a Korban Chatos by being Mechal Shabbos, he's going to be rewarded. Because according to his information, according to his understanding, according to his perception, he was going to save, to do the Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha Shabbos, Deicha Kol HaTarkula. Depends on the perception of the one who's running to do the Bikuach Nefesh. So here the Benois Lot thought that they're saving the whole world. Then is Bikuach Nefesh by Jews is not Doicha Gilei Arayis. Gilei Arayis is one of the three Averis that Yehoreg Vayava, but to save the whole world is a different story that we would allow. Fatzolos Klal Yisrael, Fatzolos Kol Adam Kula, we would allow one to violate the Gili Arayis. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, right? The very end of Shulchan Aruch, the end of the Eben Ezer, talks about the laws of Menashe's Tishas in Sof. So the Beis Shmuel, the standard commentary on the side, points out, he quotes from the Maharik, how was Esther permitted to violate, if according to the Talmudic tradition, she was an Eshes Ish, she was married to Mordechai. So how was she going, so when Achashverosh lived with her, she had no choice. But then she goes and she volunteers on her own. She goes to the king. And then she says, Kasher Avadati Avadati, from now on I'll be Asura Lebaili. Because now she's being Mezana Beratzen. So what was the heter to be Mezana Beratzen? So the Beis Shmuel quotes that from the Maharik, that for the purpose of Hakotzolos Klal Yisrael, we would permit Gili Arayis. The question is whether by Ben Enerech these dinim apply or not. That's the question. When you say that Pikuach Nefesh is Doiche, or the Yisurim, except for Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Damim, what about by Ben Enerech? Are they also Mitzuv Al Kiddush Hashem? So the Gemara has a discussion over this. And Sanhedrin and Dafayin Dalit, and there's a big machlik is what the maskana is. The Rambam starts off Perikei in Hilchas Yisrael HaTorah, where he writes about Yoharik Bal Yavis. He says, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. See, he gives you away in the first sentence, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvim. And the non Jews are not Mitzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. And then he spells it out more explicitly later in the chapter. And Rashi and Tosfos say not so. Rashi and Tosfos all the maskana was that even by non Jews, the din is Yoharik Bal Yavis. Yeah, but here for Atzalus Kol Olam, it would be permissible. Rashi quotes from the Medrash when the two Malachim arrived in Sodom, it says Velot Yoshev Bishar Sodom. So the word Yoshev would normally be spelled Mole, Yud Vav Shin Beis, and here it's spelled Choser, as if it were to be read Yoshav. So Rashi quotes from the Medrash a whole interpretation that On the opening pasuk, Rashi has the same kind. Who Yoshev Pesach Oel Kachol Mayom? Also, the first pasuk in Vayera. Also, it's written Yud Shin Beis, and you read it Yoshev instead of Yoshav. So the Medrash has a comment on both. That also Hayom that day Lot was appointed as a dayan in the city, and that's why he was sitting. Yoshev that day he was sitting. And what's on the opening pasuk? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, also such a comment, also has to do with Dayanim. The Dayanim have to be yeshiva. That when Avraham Avinu had the Gilui Shechina by Yerei Elav Hashem, so he wanted to stand up out of respect for the Shechina. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you should sit, you should be a simon lebanecho, that the Lakim Nitzah Badas Kel, that the Shechina is present whenever you have a Bezdin judging on a case, and the Bezdin should sit, and the Shechina will be Nitzah, the Lakim Nitzah Badas Kel, and the Dayanim should be yeshiva. The question is, why is this a similar banacha? What does it have to do with a dayan? The other pasuk by Lot Yoshev Bishar Sodom, Osa Yo Minu Aleim the dayan. That day, that's how the matter says, they appointed him as a dayan. So it says Yoshev, he was sitting Bishar Hoir. The dayanim, the bezin, should sit Bishar Hoir. Okay, he was appointed a dayan. But what does this mean over here? Why is Avraham Avinu a dayan? Whom is he judging over here? Just sitting Pesach Oel Kechom Ayom, and the Malachim walk by. Very strange. What's the Dayanus over here? Rav Soloveitchik suggested that maybe what the Medrash is driving at is the Kavana from the Gemara. There's a Gemara in Yuma that Hilo Mechai Vaniyim, and Hilo was very poor, and he hardly earned a living, and you had to pay to attend the yeshiva, to attend the shiur. So every day he gave a big chunk of his daily salary to the Shomer HaPesach to pay to get in to listen to the shiur. One day he didn't have any money to pay, so he was sitting on top of the roof of the Beis Medrash to listen into the shiur without paying money. And then it was snowing, so it snowed on top of him, And then it was dark in the room because this body was blocking the skyline on top of the glass ceiling that there was, and the people realized that there's a human being there, and they saw it was Hillel. So the Gemara says, Hillel is mechayv aniyim. Even a poor man like Hillel succeeded in learning, he was meis nefesh for learning, so any poor person can do like Hillel. If something is humanly impossible, so Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu bo b'trunyim b'riyos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to have any tainus against us. So poor people can have a taina. I wasn't able to learn. I couldn't afford to pay to learn. So you look at Hillel, he was poorer than most, and he was able to learn. And he learned so well, he became the chief rabbi. And the Gemara says, Rav Loza ben Azariah, I think I forgot which Tana. One Tana was extremely wealthy. He had business all over the place, and he would have been busy running all of his businesses. And he's Mechayev Ashirim. If a wealthy man like him could succeed in learning, succeed to the point that he was also appointed chief rabbi, so any wealthy person also like that. So in any given situation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu only has a taina against you if you don't keep the mitzvahs, if it's humanly possible. If it's not humanly possible, then he's not going to have any taina. So here, HaKadosh one, it's Doim Ba'amorim made taina. The only way to survive in the Middle East at that time is by being mean to everybody else. Like they were mean, they were miserable people. But if you have Avraham Avinu living right down the block, he lives right down the road, and he's a big machnes orchim, he's a big tzaddik, and he's very friendly, he's not a mean guy. He acts very kindly to the Jews and to the non-Jews, to the Obdi Avodah Zarah. He's very kind to everybody. In a certain sense, Avraham Avinu was mechayev on Shisadom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to the Malachim, first pass by Avraham Avinu and see if he's a decent guy, and if he's a decent guy, then pass by Sodom and see, could they have been as decent as he is? So then it comes out that Avraham Avinu, not consciously, but passively, he's in a certain sense like Hillel is Mechayev Aniyim, Rav Lozim and Azari is Mechayev Dashirim. So Avraham Avinu is Mechayev the Anshei Sodom. But maybe in that sense, maybe that's what it means. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you will be a simul of banach, you'll be like a bezn. He wasn't judging Anshei Sodom, but in a certain sense, he was the one who was Mechayev them, because he lived in the same neighborhood. And he lived a decent life. He was a very nice human being, and they could have been as decent as he was. So in a certain sense, he was mechayev them. So the Medrash has such a comment on the both psukim. We darshan there were in the siddur we have before Baruch Shem. We have the Rabbi Shmuel Amar b'shlosh yesh amiras ha'tarin nidresh ben. But there are many more than Yud Gimel Midrash ha'tarin nidresh ben. So one of the midas that the Gemara has is molei and chaser. But a lot of times I'll darshan a word. Why is the word spelled mole? Why is the word spelled chaser? In an unusual fashion. Like, okay, who Yoshev? Yoshev should have normally been spelled with a vav. And both times, both by Avraham Avinu and by Lot, is spelled without a vav. It indicates something about Dayanus. That Avraham Avinu was a simul of Banecha, that the Bezin should sit and the Shechina will stand. And that Lot was sitting, he was also Yaminu Aleim Dayanus. So that day he was appointed as a Dayan. You have many other drushes in the Gemara that are based on the Mole and Chosem. The Gemara says during the period of Bai Sheni there was a dispute, there were many, many disputes between the Tzedukim and the Prushim. The Gemara lists off, I think, 24 specific disputes, probably more. The Gemara has 24, I think. So one of them was whether Tvul Yom is kosher to do Hazos Paraduma water. It says, V'hiza Tohar ala Tomei. So the Tzedukim were of the opinion, they didn't accept Torah Shabbat, so they made up their own dinim. So they were of the opinion that only an Adam Tohar can do the Hazosh Lishi Shvi, and it has to be Tohar Legamre. If he was Toivel in the Mikveh and he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh, so he's still considered Tomei, and he cannot do Hazosh Lishi Shvi. And the Chachamim disagreed, that says no, says no Pasuk, he's Atar Al Atar, he's Atar Al Atamei, Tohar Kolduhu. Where did they see in the Pasuk Tohar Kolduhu? Where does it say in the Pasuk Torah Kolduhu? That's what some explain, that the drasha of the Gemara is based on the fact that the word Torah is spelled Chasavov. Normally Torah is spelled Tes Hei Vav Resh, and here it's spelled Tes Hei Resh. But the fact that it's Chasav means that it's incomplete Torah. It's not a full Torah. It happened to Vilna Gaon like that, on Parshas Mishpatim. One bar is spelled with a Vav, one bar is spelled without a Vav, and he explains how the Gemara made a whole drasha. One is a bor mole, one is a bor chotze. One bor is deeper than the other. The bor without the vav is an incomplete bor. The bor with the vav is a bor yud. The bor without the vav is a bor tes tvachim oles. Two different types of bor. Yeah, many other psukim. Some of them mafarshim claim on the opening pasuk in several achrayim have on the pasuk in parshas kedoshim. Kedoshim tiv kikodesh ani Hashem alakechem. So the word kedoshim is chosavav, kikodesh ani is malevav. So the sifroa has a comment on that pasuk. So several mafarshim say it's based on that difference. That kedushasi lemaylam bekedushaschem, because the opening pasuk has kedoshim tiv chaser. We cannot attain such a high level of kedusha like the Rebbe Shlomo. We shouldn't even strive for it. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu is ki kodesh ani. That's kodesh molek. Other psukim also like that. The Vilna Gaon has a comment like that. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Ein kovet al haTorah shenemar v'kovet chachamim yincholu." A pasuk in Mishlei, and then there's a medrash that says, "Asa li askol haKovet hazeh," and the medrash says, "Ein kovet al haMamon." So it's a contradiction. Is ain't kovet al haMamon, or ain't kovet al haTorah? So the Vilna Gaon says, the Teretz says that one kovet is spelled Molei, one kovet is spelled Chaser. Kovet Chachamim Yincholu, that's spelled Molei. That's the full kovet. The full kovet is ain't kovet al haTorah. And also Leah's kol haKovet Hazeh, it goes on Mamon. That's kovet Chaser. It's a different kind of kovet. Two different types of kovet. So here also, the Medrash has the drosha on the first pasuk and by Lot, why it says Yoshev Chosem. The Malachim are explaining to Lot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to destroy the city, and then when he tells it to his sons-in-law, Vayikim Sachek Deinech Hasanov, they thought it was a big joke. Why do they think that it's a big joke? So I think the Kliyoka has this comment, because Yudke Vavke, the Shem Hashem, is usually assumed to be the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that represents Chesed, kindness. And Elakim is usually assumed to be the name of Hashem that represents Din, strict punishment. Here it says, Vayishalchenu Hashem l'shachzo Yudke Vavke, ki mashchis Hashem esoir, Yudke Vavke. He says, Hashem, Amidas HaChesed, sent us to destroy the city. He wants to destroy it. Vayikim tzachek b'neich hasanov. They thought it was a big joke. How can it be? Amidas HaChesed. And the answer is yes. That sometimes the Rabbanu Shel Olam has to do an act of chesed and destroy the Rishoyim because they're ruining the whole world. Sometimes punishing the Rishoyim is not Amidas HaDin. Sometimes it's Amidas HaChesed for everybody else. The Rishoyim will destroy the whole world if they're not stopped. Rashi quotes from the Medrash commenting on Pasuk Chav Dalet in Perek Yutes, Vashem him tir al Sodom v'al Amora gof his veish v'yes Hashem min Hashamayim. Why does it say Vahashem? So Rashi says whenever it says kol makom shenema Vahashem hu ubeis dino, means he with his bezin did it. What is he driving at? So the Mefarshim explain what it is, that lipi elyon lo seitze harois v'hatoif. There's such a Pasuk in Eicha. So the Mefarshim quote the first half of the poem. The Elyon Seitzei Harois. Whenever the Tanakh describes that a Kodesh Baruch Hu does something, he punishes someone. So the Tanakh doesn't say the Rabbanu Shlom did it. It says the Bezin Shel Maila did it. It's the same thing. The Rabbanu Shlom did it, but it's attributed to the Bezin Shel Maila. When a good thing happens, so we say the Rabbanu Shlom did it. When a bad thing happens, a punishment, so we say the Bezin Shel Maila did it. So that's why it says here Vashem Him Tir Al Sedom. That's what they point out when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appoints Yirmiyo as a Navi. I think it's the beginning of Yirmiyo. So he says, Esmi Eshlach Umi Elach Lonu. Whom should I send? And who should go for us? So first it says, Eshlach, whom should I send? The Rebbe Shlomo is speaking. Whom should I send? Umi Elach Lonu, who should go for us? So the Mefarshim explained, the Mekubalim explained. Esmi Eshlach, the Rebbe Shlomo wanted a Navi to give Besuris Toivus, to give good news. So that's the Rebbe Shalom sends another Yirmiyah to give good news. Umi Eshlach, Umi Elach Lonu, who should go for us? That Bezin Shel Maila is going to cause a Churban Beis Hamikdash. The Rebbe Shalom didn't do that. Bezin Shel Maila did that. instead of attributing it to the Ribbono Shel Olam, who's in charge of everything, they say, who obeys Dina? The Bezna Shalmaila did it. So that's why that's in the plural. Umli Elach Lanu, because Yirmiyah Navi had to give good Nevuas, and he had to give Nevuas of Puranas. So the Eshlach is for the good Nevuas, the Psuras Tevis, the Nechomas. And Mi Elach Lanu, that's for the Nevuas of Churban. The Gemara talks about a concept of a shikir. There's a shikir, and there's a shikir shehigil shikrusu shalot. Lot was so drunk, batishka v'saliya lo yada b'shichva v'kuma. He was so drunk, he didn't know that he was having relations with a woman, with his daughter. Totally drunk. So that's a higher madrega of shikir. So the Gemara says, a shikir who does an aveira, gets malchus, gets misa, he does a mekach. The mekach is chal, he buys, he sells, everything is binding. I was a little tipsy. If he would have been... if he would not have been drunk, he would not have done these things. But still, a little drunk, he should have been careful. If he's mamish stone drunk, like shikir shegil shikrusu shalot, he mamish doesn't know what's happening. So that's considered shalom idas. Whatever he does doesn't count. So the Gemara says shikir shegil shikrusu shalot. Whatever he does doesn't count. The Rambam quotes this in Hilchas Ishus that a shikir is mekadosh an isha b'kedusha nachal unless it's shegil shikrusu shalot. Then he concludes that halacha, umisyashvim bedover zeh. You have to think into it. What do you have to think into? So some misunderstood the Rambam to mean that he's misupik whether the din in the Gemara is true. What is he misupik about? It's the din in the Gemara. An erevin, shikir, shigil, shikrusu, shalot, doesn't count. No. Misyashvim bedover zeh means you have to delve into it deeply. You have to determine, is he really a shikir? Is he on that high level? Igil shikusu shalot is just plain regular shikir. Then the Rambam quotes the Gemara. The Gemara also says, even though anything less than shikir shigil shikusu shalot is considered, whatever he does is considered a midaito, but still he's not allowed to daven, because a shikir who cannot be oimid b'fnei melech is not permitted to daven. When a person davens, he has to act like he's speaking to the king. Even a plain shikah is not allowed to daven. The bench, the in Shulchan Aruch, they quote Yerushalmi. It says, "Ve'achalta b'savata uve'erachta afiluhu medumdam." Even if he's a little tipsy, he can recite Birchas Hamazon, because that's what it says in the pasuk. "Ve'achalta b'savata ve'erachta shasham alkecha," but not to daven. To daven, you have to be not shikah at all. A shikir is considered a gavra bar das, but he's unable to express his das. You have a cherisha to be cotton. The gavra is considered a lav bar das. A shoyte is considered a gavra lav bar das. A shikir is the gavra is a gavra bar das, but right now he's unable to express his das. Let's say a person is yoshein, a person is sleeping. While he's sleeping, he's a gavra bar das, but is unable to express his das at this time. And the Gemara draws a distinction. The Gemara Sanhedrin and Mem-Vav, I think, it draws a distinction between them. Let's say a person brings a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, and before they have a chance to be makrevid, the Bala Korban becomes Nishtate. So the Gemara says you cannot be makrevid with the Korban on behalf of a Shaita. You have to have that the Bala Korban should be a Bardas. What if the Bala Korban is sleeping at the time that they makrevid with the Korban? What if he's shikir, he's drunk? So that's not called a Gavra La Bardas. Right now he's not able to express Das, but he's a Gavra Bardas. So the fact that he designated the Korban from before and he sent it to the Beis HaMikdash, that's already, he expressed his Das, that's fine. Let's say a man authorizes the writing of a get, and then he appoints a shliach to deliver the get. So if the man is nishtata before they deliver the get, so the get is no good. That's a Gemara in Gittin, the beginning of Mishach Sekodaikas. But what if the husband is sleeping at the time the get is delivered? What if the husband is drunk at the time the get is delivered? So the husband is a gavar badas. He's just at this time is unable to express das. But that's not the same as a shaita. That's talk all discussion in the Gemara. When do you label a person as a shaita? Shaita doesn't only mean he's not able to express das. It means the gavra is a gavra la bar das. So how do you decide that he's labeled as a different category? So there's a lot of literature on this. In the 1700s, there was a famous get that was given in Germany, in the city Kleve. Kleve is in Germany. That the couple got married in the middle of Shavuos Mamish, that the husband ran away. So they didn't know what happened. I think he ran away on Shabbos. He was a religion. He ran away on Shabbos and he took all the money with him. Then they found him in a different city a couple of days later. So he said they're running after him. They're running after him. He was paranoid. He thought that someone was running after him. And he thought there's a Sakonas Tefoshet. They're about to get him. So he was Mechal Shabbos, took the money. So then they calmed him down. No one's running after him. So he got back together with the wife. Then he ran away again, kept on running away. He was paranoid. So the wife didn't want to be married to touch a Meshuggah. So they were Masadar again. So they had the get was written in the city Cleveland. And then there was a whole mahuma whether the husband had the ability to give a get. Maybe he's a shaita. Maybe that was the shaila. A person is paranoid, is that called a shaita? Or is that a little too cautious? Everyone has to be kavdei v'chashdei. You have to look out for your good well-being. So is that really considered a shaita? So that was a big hullabaloo. There was all machlokes then. And then later in the early 1900s, there was also a big machlokes where several svarim were written, similar to the Cleaver get, that they collected all the tshuvas. They have quite a few tshuvas were written about the big Cleaver get. The Shagazari wrote a tshuva, all the Gdolim at that time wrote tshuvas about the Cleaver get. So then in the early 1900s, they didn't know how to treat syphilis in Europe years ago. Didn't know how to treat it. So whoever had the syphilis, ultimately it developed till it affected the nervous system, and the man who had the syphilis would become a labada. So they had insane asylums. The government had insane asylums that were full of men who were not Mishugoyim, but they had developed syphilis and they had no way to treat it. So they became, it developed till it affected the nervous system, and they became labardas. So they had many women who were stuck. They were agunas. They had no husband. And they couldn't go marry anybody else, so they were stuck. So one person decided he's going to do them a taifa. So he took a rabbi, decided to do the women a taifa. So he went to the husbands and he said, would you like to give your wife a get? And they kept on shaking their head. Yeah, yeah. They didn't know what they were talking about. Bechal. They didn't understand anything. So they said, yeah, you want to give a get? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they wrote a get and gave the get. And he was getting all these couples to get divorced. So one of the rabbanim noticed what's going on. So he started sending out letters to the whole world. What's going on here? The husbands are la badas over here. They're in insane asylums. So they had the Ola Gdolim wrote tshuvas at that time. So the Yosamech has a tshuva and the Ragachova has a tshuva. This is in the early 1900s. And then they put out two volumes. And then what's the definition of a shaita? The pasuk describes an incident that Avraham Avinu went to Chevel Aza, and Abimelech, Melech Giror, saw this good-looking girl, and he was afraid they were going to kill him, so he said, it's my sister, again. And then Abimelech looked at Rabbi, he didn't sleep with Sarah, and the Rabbi Shalom appears to him on a halayim, and he says, you're going to be punished. He says, I didn't do anything, I'm innocent. So he gives back the wife. So Rabbi Shalom warns him, you better give back the wife. You better give the man back his wife. Why ki novihu? And if he's not a novi, you don't have to give him back his wife. What does the fact that he's a novi have to do? So the Ramah has in a tshuva a very novel interpretation on the pasuk. The Ramah assumes that the din of soita applies to bnei noyach, or applies koidem matan Torah. So if Sarah had slept with Abimelech, she would become Asura to Avraham Avinu, Asaita Asura Labailo. So the Rabbanu Shalom tells Abimelech, give back the wife, he's a Navi. He knows that you didn't sleep with his wife. So she's Muteris Labailo. So it's a double Chiddush. Chiddush number one, that the din of Saita Asura Labailo applied Kodem Matan Torah. The Chayra Avraham Avinu's marriage was Anisha's Bnei Noach. So there's a din of Saita Asura Labailo. That's quite a Chiddush. Chiddush number two, that if a person has a shaila in halacha that depends on the facts, and you can ascertain the facts based on the nevuah, so that's acceptable. You don't have to have a echad nami b'isurim. If you have a navi who knows what the facts are b'koyach hanevuah, that's also acceptable. This is a famous discussion. Is that so? The Gemara talks every so often about how Shabbos Aveda. If you have an Aveda, you don't know who the rightful owner is. So the Gemara says, Yehimuna Chachi Ve'Eliyahu. And if Eliyahu Navi comes, what are you going to do with that man? Eliyahu Navi will tell us, Benavu, who's the real owner. So you'll have to listen to Eliyahu Navi when he tells us who the real owner is. That's what it sounds from the Gemara. Yehimuna Chachi Ve'Eliyahu. Eliyahu Navi will be believed to say. There's a famous story that they have in the Chassidish books about the Nari Behuda with the Baal Shem Tov. Before the Nari Behuda became the rabbi in Prague, that was like New York, that was the center of all of Gilei Arayos, and that was the center of all everything that was going on. So before he was a rabbi in a little village, and Baal Shem Tov lived in the same village. The Baal Shem Tov was a cousin of Mrs. Nari Behuda. But the Nari Behuda was opposed to the whole Hasidic movement, so he didn't have too much shaykhus with his wife's cousin, with the Baal Shem Tov. But the daughter of the Nari Behuda was afraid to tell her father. She always used to go visit the Baal Shem Tov and speak to him. So she was always afraid to tell her father because she knew he was opposed to Hasidus. So on one occasion, when the daughter was visiting by the Baal Shem Tov, he stood up and he ripped his jacket and he sat down. And it didn't have anything to do with anything that was going on. So she didn't understand why he did that. So she wrote down what day it was and what time of the day. So a month later, they found out that exactly that time, the Orach Chaim HaKadosh passed away in Eretz Yisrael. So she told her father that I was always afraid to tell you that I was visiting the Baal Shem Tov because you're opposed to Hasidus, but I want you to know that a month ago when I visited him, he stood up and he ripped Kriya, and we just found out today that that's exactly when our Chaim HaKadosh died in Eretz Yisrael. So you see that he has Ruach HaKadosh, that he knew that he had died and he ripped Kriya. So Nadi Behuda put on a stern face. He's still anti-Hasidus, and he says he ripped Kriya, it was over on Baal Tashchis. You're only supposed to rip Kriya if you're there B'Shas Yitzias Neshama, or if you have an Eid Echad, a human being who tells you that the person died. If you know that someone died by Ruach HaKodesh, you're not allowed to rip Kriya. It's Baal Tashchis. So someone went and they told back the Baal Shem Tov what the Nari Behuda said. So he said, I was there B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. That's the Hasidish end of the story. I was there B'Shas Yitzias Neshama. Okay. He lived in Poland. Baruch HaKodesh lived in Eretz Yisrael. There are different encounters between the Nari Behuda and the Baal Shem Tov. So that's one of them, the way they say. So that's the shayla that the Ramah has in the Tshuvas. That the Pasuk says, Hoshebeis ki Navihu. He's a Navi, he knows that his wife was not Mizana, so she's Muteris Labailam. The whole assumption is a big Chiddush. That an Eishesish is in Sasur al Baila even applies Koyde Matan Ter, even before the Dinam of Sota were given. That this is even an issue's B'nai Noach, you have like that. In the days of Rabbi Kiveger, Rabbi Kiveger lived in Germany, and he used to correspond with the Nesivis, who did not live in Germany. I think he lived in Lithuania. And Rabbi Kiveger had a cousin who wrote the Beis Meir. Beis Meir is a commentary on Shulchan Aruch, and he wrote Tshuva's Beis Meir. So they have, and then the Chamda Shlomo was the rabbi in Warsaw at that time, so they used to correspond with each other. Different countries, they used to correspond. So they have a tshuvas between the Chemda Shloima and the Beis Meir on a very strange incident that a non-Jewish woman wanted to convert. She didn't convert, she did convert. She converted, there was no bez, a whole strange story. And then she was living with a Jew for the longest time. And then someone confronted the Jew, what are you living with a non-Jewish woman? She never converted. So she ran away from him and then she was living with a guy. And then later on, she finally did convert. So the shayla was, is she allowed to marry the original Jew that she was married, living with before? So the Chemda Shlomo discusses a din of Soita Asur Labailah. Soita Asur Labailah, a non-Jewish woman was married to a Jewish man. That's a Deishas Ish. And then she goes and has an effort. Then she runs away from the husband. She lives with a non-Jew. And then she wants to come back to the husband after she converts. So that's called the Soita. Ein Kiddushin Tofsin. She's never married to him. So the one who put out this Shadus Tshuvas of the Beis Meir, it was just put out about 40, 50 years ago in Yerushalayim by the Machon Yerushalayim. So he writes, he's learning in the Miri Yeshiva, and he asked all the Rabbanim, no one understands what this is all about. But that's what he writes, that a non-Jewish woman married to a Jewish man is considered an Eishes Ish, b'miktsas, And if she'll be mizana with someone else, it's a din of soita asur al bailo, so she can't go back to the husband. The whole thing is kula chiddush. But the Rama already, from the 15th, Rama has it in his truth. Very strange. Chumash continues to tell of the birth of Yitzchak and the Bris Mila. Yitzchak was the first one that had a Mila Bismano on the Yom HaShmini. So then the pasuk continues that this Avimelech, Melech Giror, who had the incident with Avraham Avinu. So a little while goes by, and he comes and he wants to make a peace agreement with Avraham Avinu, that he should stay there in Chebel Az, and he should stay where he is in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu makes an agreement with him. So the Rashbam has a famous comment that many like to quote in recent years, that right after this it says, Vayachar Hadvarim Ha'ela, the Akedah begins. Right after this, Avraham Avinu was punished. What was he punished? Who told you to make a peace agreement with Avimelech that you're letting him live in Chebel Azah? Chebel Azah belongs to the Jews also. You have no right to sign it away to give it to Avimelech, Melech Gerar. So he was punished with this aggravation that the Rabbanu Shlom told him bring his son as a korban. And according to one version in the Medrash, he was crying and crying when he was doing the Akedah. He was crying and crying. Apparently they were both praying, Avram and Yitzchok were praying that he shouldn't have to go through with it, and their prayers were answered in the affirmative, but this was taken as a punishment. That's how the Rashbam interpreted this. Was taken as a punishment, Avram, achar hadvarim ha'ele, after he gives away half of Eretz Yisrael, Chebel Azah, he gives away to the Palestinians, but then he's punished and he has this whole aggravation. An interesting interpretation. Usually assumed that the Akedah was not a punishment. It was 10 nisyonos, and this was the most difficult nisyon. So on the other day, on Sunday, one of the Rabbanim spoke by the Hachnasa Sefer Torah. So he mentioned, I think from Chassidish Sefer, but the Ran has this. There's a Pirush Ran al Torah. The Ran has this fantastic Chiddush Kachnas Binchas Chitcha Shehafta. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never was mitzabe him to do this. He says, please, Kachna, I'm not asking of you if it's too much, don't do it, but you would make me very happy if you would offer your son as a korban. So we would have said, I'd rather not. You're not instructing, you're not commanding, I'd rather not. So Avraham Avinu says, okay, he's about to do it. Whatever pleases HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he wants to do, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not mitzvah him. If this is what will please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kach no, please, do me a teva. I'm not asking, I'm not commanding you, I'm not instructing you, you have to do it. If you do it, you'll make me very happy. So that's called the Ahavta Es Hashem Elokecha, Avas Hashem. How does one demonstrate that he loves his spouse? How do you demonstrate that you love your parents? If you know that this would make your mother happy to throw out the garbage or to clean up your bedroom or to make your bed or something, you shouldn't wait till your mother tells you. You shouldn't wait till your wife tells you to do something. You should do it in advance, before your mitzvah v'yoysa. If you know, that's the way to show that you love the other person, to do something that you know would please them. So this is what the Rambam, the Gemara has a whole discussion. How do you say bracha shekadoshana b'mitzvah v'tzivanu and hadlokas neres chanukah? It's not true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command us. He didn't demand of us to light Neres Chanukah. It's only a mitzvah midrabbanan. So how can you say sheker? Kiddushan b'sasa b'tzivan. So the Gemara says, heichan tzivana, where does it say? So the Gemara says, loy sasur. The Rambam adapts that position, loy sasur. And the Ramban says that there never was such an opinion, that first opinion, loy sasur, was only an asmachta. Because the Gemara says, in brochus, loy sasur is an asmachta. for all dinim of the Rabban. So he says, so what's the real mocker? The Ramban said, the next pasuk, shalavich liagedcha zekenecha v'yomerloch, that's the mocker for the binding force of all dinim of the Rabban. That's the mocker. That's not one of the 613 mitzvahs of Torah. So how could that be the mocker for the chiv of mitzvahs with the Rabbanan? So Rabbi Chana Basman has a whole essay. So he says, no, the mocker for the chiyav, I think he quotes it from the Mabit, from the Beis Halakim, the mocker for the obligation to absorb all the mitzvahs of Rabbanan is, you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not just the chayvus halvavus, it's a chayvus v'ayvarim. We have to demonstrate that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you demonstrate? By doing things that you would know would please HaKadosh Baruch Hu kiv ha-yochel, even though he didn't ask us, even though he didn't instruct us to do them. So how do you know what would please HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You have to know, in addition to knowing the letter of the law, you have to know the spirit of the law. So that's what the Chazal say, the Pasuk says, Shalavicha v'yagedcha zekenecha v'yomerloch, ask the big Talmid HaChachamim, what is the spirit of the law? And you'll know in what direction you should go to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do something even though he never instructed you to do it, even though he never commanded you to do it. What should you volunteer to demonstrate that you really love HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mishnah Maseches Avodah Zarah comments on the Pasuk, Ki Toivim Deidecha Miyoyim, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. So the Mishnah says, Chavivim Divrei Seferim Yosem Miyenish Al Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates more when we observe the Dinim Derabbanan, more so than when we observe the Dinim Deraisa. Where do you see that in the Pasuk? Ki Toivim Deidecha Miyoyim. When we do mitzvahs from the Rabbanan, we demonstrate that Deidecha, we demonstrate that we love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The way to demonstrate our love is by doing things that he never instructed us to do, but we know that this would please him. So all the mitzvahs in the Rabbanan, the binding force of all of the mitzvah Rabbanan is the mitzvah of Yahavta Hashem Elokecha, to demonstrate our love for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, to do things that would please him. So for that you have to know what is the spirit of the law. There are those mishugoyim who think that just like you perform a bris milah on a boy, you have to perform a brita on a girl. That's the spirit of the law. So that we Orthodox Jews hold that that's an avera. You're not allowed to mutilate the body. Bris milah is a mitzvah, but you don't make up your own form of mutilating the body and say that that'll please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Other people come up, the conservatives and the reform, and a lot of people who think that they're Orthodox come up with new minhagim, and they think this is the way to please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Torah says, Shalabicha v'yagedcha zikinecha v'yamalach. Ask the Talmid HaChachamim who are knowledgeable, what is the spirit of the law? You have to know what is the spirit of the law to know what would please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here, that's how the Ran interprets a big chiddush. Kachnas bincha was never a tzivui. It was, Rabban Shalom said, you'll do me a favor if you do it, but if you don't want to, it's okay. So Avraham Avinu is prepared to do it. The Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim writes, why is the Akedah written in the Chumash? To indicate to us how clear the Nevuah was. If Avraham Avinu would have any doubt whatsoever, if that's what the Rabban Shalom instructed him to do, he would never bring his son as a never have a Havamina to offer him as a carbon. It was crystal clear, 100% clear, that that's what the Rabban Shalom wants him to do. When the Rambam writes a difference, the Gemara says that the difference, the Gemara Yavama says the difference between the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu and that of the other prophets, that the Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu was like Aspik Gloria Hameira, that of the other prophets was Aspik Gloria Shein Meira. It doesn't mean that it was foggy, they weren't sure what they were told. Initially, maybe they weren't sure, but after they thought about it for a while, then it was crystal clear. Rama says, otherwise, how would a person be prepared to sacrifice his one and only son? So obviously, it was very clear to him that that's what was expected of him. I later on, the Rav Shlom comes out that the whole thing was a mistake. So they quote in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, it wasn't a mistake. The Rav Shlom said, Haleo Sham Leoilo, you should be Magdish his son as a Korban Oilo. So he did it. He was Magdish his son as a Korban Oilo. The next step, Avraham Avinu understood Memela. If I'm Magdish, my son is a Korban Oilo, so you have to be Makrivit. That the Rav Shlom never told him to do. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. I meant just to be Magdashit, and the normal, the regular standard din, whenever you have a carbon oil or roaming around in the street, there's a Mishnah like that in Shkolim. If you have an animal roaming in Yerushalayim and has a tag on it, this is a carbon oil, this is a carbon shlomer. If it doesn't have a tag, if it's a Zohar, you assume that it's an oil, and if it's an Akeli, you assume it's a shlomim. So whenever you have a carbon roaming around, you have to be Makrivit. So that Avraham Avinu understood on his own, but he This was crystal clear. Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to be Magdash his son as a carbon oiler. Not Halei Hashem the other climb up to the top of the mountain. That's not what he meant. He meant be Magdash him as a carbon. And then Avraham Avinu understood on his own. Whenever you have a carbon, you have to be Makrovitz. And then Kodesh Baruch Hu says, no, Avtishol Yad Chavanah, this is a Yotzim and Aklav. This is an unusual case. Be Makriv. Ayalacha Nechaz Basvach, we kind of be Makriv the Ayal. And I will consider it as if the hakrava, the avoda done to the ayil, had been done to your son Yitzchak. We have such a din by the shnei seirim on Yom Kippurim. So you do the avoda, the soar l'Hashem, and the avoda and the soar l'Hashem affects even the soar l'Azazel. The avoda done to one carbon has an effect on the other carbon as well. The Medrash talks about on the pasuk in the end of B'chukaisai. B'zachartes B.C. Yaakov Afes B.C. Yitzchak Afes B.C. Avram Eskov Horetz Eskov. Hakmet says the verb Zechira by Avram and by Yaakov, and it doesn't say the verb Zechira by Yitzchak. B'zachartes B.C. Yaakov Afes B.C. Yitzchak doesn't say Yaskov Afes B.C. Avram Eskov. Hakmet doesn't say Zechira by Yitzchak. So Rashi in the end of B'chukaisai quotes, you only have to remember something or someone who's not here. If the Chumash is in front of me, I don't have to remember. If the Chumash is not here, I have to remember. Yitzchak Avinu, Afra Tzav Ramunach HaGabli HaMizbeach. The ashes of Yitzchak are there in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the time. The ashes are there. What do you mean the ashes are there? The whole thing was a mistake. It's like the bones from the seven cows. It never happened. What do you mean the ashes are there? No, the ashes from the Ayil Ach HaNechaz Basvach B'Kan. The Avodah was done to the Ayil, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll consider it as if the Avodah was done to Yitzchak. Yitzchak Taka had a Kedushas Karban. That's you see later. It says, "Vayhira v'aretz malvad harav harashon ashehaya b'me Avraham, vayered Yitzchak el Abimelech Melech plishtim gerora." Yitzchak Avinu was going to do the same as Avram Avinu did. He was going to go to Mitzrayim, just like Avram Avinu went to Mitzrayim. Yitzchak was going to go also. Yitzchak always represents Masorah. He goes in the footsteps of his father. It says he digs the same wells and he gives the same names and he does everything the same. So the Zohar has such a comment. The Sefer Aksaba Kabbalah, whenever he quotes the Zohar, so his readers were Yekis, so he does want to call it the Zohar, they may not like it, so he calls it Mechilta the Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. So he quotes the Zohar, says that Yitzchak represents Masor, he does everything exactly the same as Avram Avinu. So Rashi quotes on the Pasuk, just like Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim when there was a famine, he did the right thing. So Yitzchak is going to do exactly the same. Kadosh Baruch Hu appears to him and he says, "I'll tear it, Mitzrayim. You're not allowed to go. Your father was not a carbon. He was allowed to go to Chutzlot. You were hukdash as a carbon. And a carbon will be nifsal b'yotze if you go to Chutzlot. You have to stay in Chevel Aza. Chevel Aza is part of Eretz Yisrael. Maybe it became part of Eretz Yisrael then, when he gave it to him. Gur Baruch Hazos. He just made it. Kadosh Baruch Hu made it part of Eretz Yisrael at that time. So it's not that Avraham Avinu made a mistake that he wanted to shecht his son. The tzivui was Halei Hashem Li'olah to be Magdashim as a carbon oiler, which he did. And then in Meila the din takes over. Whenever you have a carbon oiler, he's supposed to be Makrovit. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is a Yotze min HaKlal, that this carbon doesn't need an Avodah. The Avodah will be done to the Ayil Achar. It will be considered as if it had been done to the to Yitzchak. The Gemara learns that in Chulin, the first Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, Vayikach Samachelas Lishcha Desbenoi, the Gemara learns that two dinim that seem to be contradictory, it's a problem. The Gemara says that whenever you shecht the Hemas Chulin, the thing that you shecht with, the instrument that you use to shecht, has to be Tolush. Mamachelas Betolush of Kogotosh. If you cannot shecht with the Dova HaMechuber, let's say you have a tree that's growing from the ground and you have a very sharp branch on the tree, so you can use a wooden knife to shecht the Behema, but not if it's attached to the ground. Then the Gemara learns out another din from Achelas, that when you shecht in carbon, it has to be a kli. Stam, a sharp piece of glass or grass or wood or something else is not acceptable. It has to be in the form of a kli. But for shechitas chulin, you don't need it should be a kli. It just has to be tolush. So it's a problem. How can the Gemara learn out two dinim from the same pasuk that are totally different? Here, Yitzchak was a carbon. Avraham Avinu thought he was a carbon, so he needs a kli. That's Machelis as a kli because of Shechitas Kachin. How can they learn out that Shechitas Chula needs Tolush? It's a problem. How do you learn out both things? And the Malach appears to Avraham Avinu and says, Abraham, Abraham. And then he says, you shouldn't shech this son. So print in the printed Chumash Yav, Abraham, Abraham, there's a psik, there's a line in between the two. When it says Moshe, Moshe, there is no psik in between. So the Nefesh HaChaim quotes from the Zohar that his readers were not yekta, so he didn't have to call it Mechilta Reb Shem Baichar. So he calls it the Zohar. That by Abraham, Abraham, there's a psik begabe. By Moshe, Moshe, there's no psik. The difference is that Moshe Rabbeinu, so the Nefesh HaChaim interprets what is the Zohar driving at. So he says, in heaven, there's an image of what each person has the potential to become. And then people are given the opportunity in life to develop. So Moshe Rabbeinu developed to the maximum of his potential. So Moshe, Moshe, the first Moshe represents the Tzura in heaven, the Dmus, the Yukno Shel Moshe Rabbeinu in heaven, and second Moshe represents who Moshe really was. There's no pause in between, no psik begabe, he fulfilled his potential to the maximum. Abraham, Abraham, and all the other tzaddikim, they rose a psik begabe because they didn't fulfill the maximum of their potential. Rav Yochaim interprets that's how the Gemara says the Malachim, when Yaakov Avinu fell asleep, Malachim Olam Yardim Bo, so the Gemara has in the beginning of Gidon Osha, the Agarta, that the Malachim were looking at the Muzdiyuk, Nushal Yaakov Avinu Chakuk Al Kisei HaKovet, and then they looked at Yaakov Avinu and they saw he didn't correspond to what his potential was, a Bikshu L'Hargoy. They wanted to kill him. Why didn't he maximize his potential? Why didn't he live up to whom he could have become? Bina Hashem Nitzavol of the Shomer. Rabbi Shlom came to protect the Yaakov Avinu and he shouldn't kill him. But he has a whole essay about that. That every person has in heaven, there's a tzura of what his potential is. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Beis Abchiro that the Makam HaMizbech Mechuvan B'Yoyser, the location where the Mizbech has to be in the Azor is a very specific location. That is our tradition has it, that is the location where Adam HaRishon brought a Korban the day he was created. That's where Cain and Hevel brought their Korbanos. That's where Noach brought the Korbanos after the Mabul. The Teva landed in Hori Ararat. That's somewhere in Turkey, apparently, Kordanaisa. Nice, the Targum says, but he didn't bring the Karbonis in Turkey. He built the Mizbech, he brought the Karbonis in Yerushalayim, in the Makam HaMizbech, and that's where the Akedah took place. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, we have to build the Mizbech in the Azar, Makam HaMizbech, Mechuvan B'Yoyser. That's where the Akedah took place. On Rosh Hashanah, we learn about the Akedah. So you have to give five aliyahs. So in order to have five aliyahs, so we learn the last few psukim after the Akedah also. The next five psukim after the Akedah. Otherwise, there wouldn't be enough for five psukim. So that's the Pashtus. So the Rejik once suggested maybe there's a deeper reason for it. Not only because you have to have a fifth aliyah and then not enough psukim, maybe it's to draw the contrast between the Yehudim and the Nochrim. That by the Umas Olam, they get married, have children, one baby after the other, after the other, after the other, and they're marrying and so on, no problems. And by Bnei Yisrael, till Avraham Avinu had a baby, he had to be 100 years old, and his wife was an Akar, and he was an Akar. And then Rabbi Shalom tells him to bring an Akedah. Everything by Bnei Yisrael is with difficulties. It's Lefum Tzaira Agro. Everything in life is intended to be Nisyanis. It's not Stam that. Olam Kimin HaGanoik. And the schar is given lefum tzayragra. If a person survives the world in his yainus and he navigates properly, then he deserves more schar. Haftorah is also very important. Haftorah is a lot to discuss some other time. Okay, got it.